This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Summer is for going to the theater because it's too hot to stay home. It's for driving with the windows down, listening to your favorite music. It's for stretching out while you're on vacation to gobble up a show. In short, summer is for good new stuff.
And we are here for you. We've looked ahead over the coming months to spotlight some of the things we're most excited about. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. Today on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we offer up a guide to some of the TV, movies, and music we're eager to join you in checking out this summer.
Support for NPR and the following message come from the American Cancer Society. Dr. Alpa Patel leads a team that researches cancer risk factors, and she shares how her team makes an impact.
We always do what we like to think of as actionable science. So the work that we do makes its way to things like nutrition and physical activity guidelines for cancer.org, where millions of people come each year to learn about how they can better prevent cancer.
To learn more, go to cancer.org.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Vuori. Jump into a new perspective on performance apparel. Vuori makes products that stand the test of time and hope to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives, empowering your best life in clothing that can be worn for just about any activity from running to yoga. Visit Vuori.com/NPR to receive 20% off your first purchase and enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. Discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Joining us today are our co-hosts, Aisha Harris. Hello, Aisha.
Summer, summer, summer guide. Here we are. Hello.
And also sure to give us a little ditty, Glenn Weldon. Hello, Glenn.
Yeah, right. Sure. Summer sucks. Stinky feet and pit stains. Ew. Let's get to it.
All right.
All right. Well, you all know what summer is. You all know who we are. So we're going to dive directly into it. Glenn, I know I've already alienated you, but what is your first pick?
Oh, I went all gritty and independent and obscure, as is my wont. House of the Dragon. Heard of it? Season 2 is coming to HBO Max on June 16th. Now, if you have been living under a rock, under a Casterly rock, this is a prequel to Game of Thrones, set nearly 200 years before that series. It's about a civil war during the Targaryen dynasty, if that means anything to you at all. Linda, I'm seeing a blank expression. I don't think it does, but... Look, why am I looking forward to another season? Because I am fascinated by the project of this, the narrative logistics of it. Because unlike Game of Thrones, which is based on the George R.R. Martin novels, and until it suddenly wasn't, this is based on a pretty dry chunk of material that comes from a kind of faux historical account of this fictional world called Fire and Blood. And it's told from a very specific point of view. So a lot is left for the reader to infer. It's kind of like trying to create drama out of a Wikipedia entry.
I've seen many biopics that have tried.
Exactly. Yes. That's exactly it. It shouldn't work. In the show, there's more shades. There's more humanity. There's an emotional cost to being awful that the book doesn't concern itself with. Mm. And all that is created from whole cloth, essentially, by the showrunners. That's why I think it's interesting. The series is adapting a roughly 225-page chunk of this book. And to do even that much, it had to do a couple time jumps. It had to recast some lead roles. and it still hadn't delivered on the promise of its premise, which, let's be real, is hot dragon-on-dragon action. You want to see these dragons fighting each other in the sky.
Oh, fighting.
And that happened sort of in the last episode.
Oh, boy. That's a serialized TV drama for you.
I know. That was all the lead-up to this civil war, right? Now, well, now the war is here. Okay. With season 2, episode 1, the war is happening. Dragons are fighting. If you're a little fuzzy on the first season, I did recap the first season. I went back to read those recaps, and I remembered none of it.
Been there.
That's House of the Dragon season 2 on June 16th on both HBO and Max.
Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Stephen, we are going to you for also a continuation of an existing project. Talk to me.
Yeah, so Inside Out 2 is coming to theaters on June 14th. And I imagine if we were to poll this panel, what is your favorite Pixar movie? We'd get a range of choices. I think Glenn and I for sure would have very different choices. Mm-hmm. Mine is the original Inside Out from 2015, which is about the inner life of an 11-year-old girl named Riley and the emotions that kind of make up her being. And they're voiced by people like Amy Poehler, Lewis Black, Phyllis Smith. And to me, as the parent of, at that time, an 11-year-old girl, that movie hit me so, so, so hard. I loved it so much. It's funny. It's emotionally gripping. It rang very true. And I kind of viewed it as a kind of perfectly contained movie. I wasn't necessarily crying out for a sequel. But watching the trailer for the new one, I'm seeing they're introducing new emotions, new characters. Riley is now 13, whereas my daughter is 20. So they're not moving in the exact pace of real life. But they're introducing new emotions like ennui and anxiety, basically kind of to capture that as you get older, as you hit puberty, the emotions you contain are more complex. They're interacting in more and more unpredictable ways. And this movie is grappling with that. I'm excited to take my daughter, who will be home from college, to see this, and we'll sit together and get our little bucket of popcorn and probably cry a bunch. And I'm into it.
Yeah, I'm into this film too. Not for the reasons you are. I'm not looking forward to a good cry, but it seems to be engaging with something that I think is very true. I mean, I've written a lot about how the reason Marvel Comics took off in the 60s is that they realized the readers were older than young kids. They were adolescents. Mm-hmm. So they started injecting their heroes with adolescent emotions, like not necessarily ennui, which is a very sophisticated adolescent emotion, but, fear, doubt, shame, and that's what took off. People recognized it. So it's, I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm looking forward to it.
I would say, Glenn, I think what you're calling on there is one of the same things that people liked for all of the flaws in the John Hughes movies in the 80s. One of the things that the John Hughes movies did, not all of them, but certainly some of them, was at least try to sort of reckon with complicated teenager feelings without making mm-hmm. them all about, like, it's the last day of summer camp. And and I think that's something that people appreciated. And so, you know, yeah, take it seriously.
Yeah. I'm withholding my judgment. For every Toy Story 2 or 3, there's a Monsters University. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Sure. Yeah, Pixar sequels are a very mixed bag. That is not lost on me, for sure.
I agree. Yeah. All right, so that is Inside Out 2. It will be coming on June 14th to theaters, obviously. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. I chose a new movie. I am striking out on my own on a new path.
Hey.
No sequels, no follow-ups. I chose Hitman,
Woo.
Which is from Richard Linklater, who is the mm-hmm. director and co-writer. And he co-wrote it with Glenn Powell. Very, very hot Glenn Powell.
Are you talking about career-wise?
Well, both.
Yeah. Right? Well, now his career yeah. might be hot after this movie, which I've seen.
Well, yeah. I mean, hot dude and also, like, hot career. He's been one of those people who people are trying to get in everything. So this is a movie about – it's a neo-noir, they tell me, but it's a comedy. I love a neo-noir that's also kind of a comedy. It is about, as they describe it, a straight-laced professor who moonlights as a fake hitman for the New Orleans Police Department. I don't understand how this works at all, but here is my greatest source of optimism. It is based on a true story that was reported in Texas Monthly. Mm-hmm. If you have ever read the long weird stories in Texas Monthly.
Yeah, we are subscribers.
That is where a lot of your genuinely great weird stories come from. And so when I see Richard Linklater doing a movie from a story out of Texas Monthly with Glenn Powell, who, look, I did not like Anyone But You, but I do like him. I have liked him in other things. And so when I see Glenn Powell and I see Richard Linklater, who I have loved for a long time, and I see Texas Monthly, I say, mwah, I love a neo-noir. I love a Richard Linklater comedy. Let's go.
Yeah. As I've already said, I've seen this, and I think it is a very For Linda's movie. I'm just so excited for you to see it. It was very fun. Very fun. And it's the first time I've actually, like, I'm sorry, I'm going to shade here, but like, it's the first time I've actually noticed Glenn Powell in any significant way. I've seen him pop up in lots of things, but like, he's never been someone who I'm like, ooh, and I never remembered his name. And after this movie, I've remembered his name. So there we go. So he's gone from like Ryan Reynolds, you know, Van Wilder, that era, to now Ryan Reynolds, like possibly Deadpool.
Oh, sure.
Not the same genre, but like, that's where I feel like this role is putting him.
No, I got ya. He's come out of that place for you that I'm with a bunch of guys where I'm like, if I don't remember who that is, it's probably Luke Kirby. This happens to me a lot.
Yeah.
I'm psyched about this. I love this kind of movie. And I also am really excited to be the person who really loves a movie that is not a gigantic action movie on Netflix.
Sure.
Because I have gotten too much of a reputation for being the person who loves the dumb action movies.
Was it The Gray Man? What was the... Yeah.
We don't need to get into it. It's very painful for me. Yeah, so I am excited to watch it. It is called Hitman. It is coming June 7th to Netflix, but not in the same way as, say, Lyft. All right. Aisha, you did not pick Hitman, but you also picked a movie. Talk to me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this is going to be a premise that's vaguely familiar. It comes out of this sort of period that I think we're really flourishing in right now, which is the female buddy comedy era. You know, last year we had Bottoms, we had Quiz Lady, and now we have Babes, which is directed by Pamela Adlon, who, when I see that, I'm like, yes, Pamela Adlon, Better Things, one of the greatest shows of the last 10 years. I'm going to put my stake in it and leave it there. And it stars Alana Glazer and Michelle Buteau, who is Michelle Buteau. If you are not familiar, she recently had a really great show on Netflix called Survival of the Thickest. She is a great comedian. Alana Glazer, also a great comedian. Broad City, woohoo! So you have them playing best friends who are at like different points in their lives now. And Michelle's character is partnered, has a baby, and Alana's the single one, and she gets pregnant from a one-night stand. Oh no, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep the baby? Blah, blah, blah. The trailer kind of gives a lot of it away. And have we seen versions of this before? Sure. It reminds me a little bit of the really great movie, the indie comedy Obvious Child, starring Jenny Slate, meets lots of the mid to late aughts movies from the Apatowian universe and all of its many descendants. What makes me excited for it is the fact that we have Glazer and Michelle Buteau, and also Glazer co-wrote this with Joss Rabinowitz. And again, Pamela Adlon directing behind the director's chair. So I think it's going to be fun. Give me the summer comedies. Give me the R-rated comedies that are just kind of silly. I just want more of them. Just give them all to me. And if you have these two performers in these roles, I'm going to hopefully enjoy it regardless of how perhaps derivative it might feel. I'm sure there will be at least one obligatory accidental drug taking scene because if you make one of these movies, there's always going to be one. But you know what? I'm here for it. And I think they will make it fun. So that is Babes. It's in theaters May 17th.
My only complaint about it isn't the derivativeness. I mean, if it's a good script and good people involved, I don't care if I've seen the story before. My only complaint is the title. How am I going to tell this movie apart from Bottoms, from Bros?
I forgot about Bros.
A lot of people forgot about Bros.
So many movies with so many similar titles. But with these people, I'll check it out for sure.
Well, yeah, the SEO for this, come on now.
Yeah.
All right. That is awesome. I will see it partly just on your recommendation, Aisha. All right. We are to our second round. Glenn, You are going to kick off our second round. What is your second pick?
Second pick is a film called National Anthem, coming to theaters Friday, July 12th. This is the first feature by a guy named Luke Gilford. He directed and co-wrote it. He's a photographer and a filmmaker. He tends to photograph queer communities outside of the big cities. And he does so in ways that, as they used to say in grad school, interrogate traditional notions of masculinity in places like the American Southwest. So this film grows out of a photo series he did with queer rodeo performers. And it stars Charlie Plummer as a young man in New Mexico who's taking care of his family. His younger brother, his alcoholic mom. He takes a job working at a homestead of queer rodeo performers, where, as often happens in films like this, he comes to learn certain things about himself. I have not seen this film yet, but I am looking forward to it because, you know, it can be true that, as a wise man once said, cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. And that's great storytelling fodder, right? You can make films out of that that trade on tragedy and trauma, like your Brokeback's Mountain and your Powers of the Dog. But there's also room for a film like this, which has gotten some really good reviews out of the festival circuit. It's, by all accounts, a quiet film, a lyrical film that tells a queer story about self-discovery and finding your people. And man, it could not arrive at a time when stories like that are more needed. So that is National Anthem in theaters July 12th.
Yeah, I will absolutely see that. Yeah, I think.
Same.
I love a cowboy movie, you know? So my second pick, when I started reading about this movie, I was like, on the one hand, yes, but on the other hand, yikes. It is a film called Sing Sing, which stars Coleman Domingo as a man who is imprisoned at Sing Sing for something he did not do. And he becomes involved in a theater group at the prison that kind of, you know, becomes very meaningful to the guys who are in the group. It becomes a big part of their sort of progress and their coping and all of that stuff. But the reason why I hesitated is that they referred to this in one of the pieces of publicity that I got as the stirring true story of resilience, humanity, and the transformative power of art. Listen, I believe in all those things. But I have deep concerns about movies' ability to convey those things in the context of incarcerated people in a way that does not come off as unbelievably corny. However, however, fundamentally, I believe in the transformative power of art. And if handled correctly, that can be an incredibly powerful thing. That is something that also, as you said, Glenn, about your film, there are times when you're like, right now, I absolutely want this movie to be awesome. Yeah. And the way that people engage or don't engage with art, the way that they respect the role that art plays in people's lives, I am super, super here for a story about the transformative power of art. And of course, because it is Coleman Domingo, it cannot be all bad. Cannot.
Yeah,
sure.
Even if it is a corny script, which I do not know because I have not seen it, he will elevate it, as he does with basically everything I've ever seen him in, including an episode of Law & Order.
Man, his bottle episode of Euphoria is shockingly great.
He's absolutely stupendous. So it came to TIFF, to the Toronto International Film Festival, got good reviews. And so I am going to buckle in and really hope that this movie is the absolute best version of itself. I almost cried at the trailer. Yes, I did.
All right.
So it looks like it's going to work on me. I'm excited to see it. Mm-hmm. It is coming out in July in theaters. It is called Sing Sing.
Right. Well, it's getting three bites of the apple, right? Because if it doesn't get you with the transformative power of art, it might get you with humanity or with the resilience. Pick one.
Absolutely. All right. Stephen, what is your second pick?
Well, I've talked a couple times recently on this show about my experience with what I call pop star opus fatigue, where there is a certain amount of mission creep that's going on with several major albums by major pop stars, where those albums are getting bigger and longer and more important. And I am pining for a pop record that is just wall-to-wall bangers. One that is virtually guaranteed to be wall-to-wall bangers is an album coming out June 7th by Charlie XCX. Her album is called Brat. If you're not familiar with Charlie XCX's music, you probably are and just don't know it. She plays kind of hyper-pop informed danceable pop music. It is extremely hard charging. It is extremely hook forward. The singles that have been dropped from this record, one is called Von Dutch, one is called Club Classics, and my favorite is called B2B, yeah, which is just hooks for days. We will play a small excerpt of B2B, and it will probably be stuck in at least this panel's head, and probably yours if you're listening, mm-hmm, for the rest of the day, and then some. So just in that little clip, you are hearing hooks nested in other hooks. Mm-hmm. So you might just get that back to back to back to back to back thing stuck in your head, or you might get the kind of larger overarching hook stuck in your head. This song is merciless.
Yeah.
And I am so excited about it. This particular record to me just promises to be just nonstop hooks. And I want that. I want to drive around listening to it. I want to just like get these songs rattling around in my skull. I'm so into it already.
Okay, but Steven, how long after the album drops before Charlie XCX disavows the entire thing? Because that's kind of been her thing. It's like, she's like, I dropped this album, and she's like, 3 months later, she's like, now I'm going to try and revamp myself. I love her, but she seems to not love her past music in ways that I find very fascinating.
What I like about that is I think she is extremely forward-thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes you then get sick of your own music.
Yeah.
And so I am not sick of her for old records. I've gotten a kick out of most of them,
yeah,
and I'm ready to have it, to get a kick out of this one.
Me too.
Everyone should want a No Skips album for the, mm-hmm, summer. It makes car rides easier. It makes everything. It makes life easier to get a No Skips album. So here's hoping.
So that is Charlie XCX. Brat is the album, and it is coming out June 7th. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Aisha Harris, oh my goodness, you also picked some music. Tell me.
Yes. So No Worries, NX Worries, is a side project collaboration between Anderson .Paak and the producer Knowledge. And like 8 years ago, they put out their first album together. It's called Yes, Lord. I have to say it like that because it's written. It's written with an exclamation point, and Lord is LAWD. I imagine James Brown exclaiming it in the song.
Sure.
So anyway, it's been 8 years since that album, which I loved. The vibe of it is very, I don't know how to put it. It's kind of like, I hate the term neo-soul, but I've seen people describe it as neo-soul. Mm. It's more like kind of chill wave soul, like hanging by the pool on a summer day and like just having it in the background while you're hanging out with your friends and at the cookout or something. That is the vibe that that album gave us. And their follow-up is Why Laud? I can't exclaim it because it's like got a question mark instead of an exclamation point. So it sounds weird coming out of my mouth, but that's what it's called. And apparently the release date is June 7th for the vinyl and then June 14th for the digital. They've released a few singles since then, but my favorite is Daydreaming. It has this very kind of early 80s funk / synth pop feel to it. Let's actually hear a little bit of Daydreaming, their new single. Anderson .Paak is like shredding on that guitar there. It's great. I love it. And I'm glad that they have finally come back together to put what I hope will be another No Skips album. We'll see. But that is Why Laud by No Worries.
Nice. It really does sound like summer.
Yeah. It's a perfect timing.
Yeah. It also sounds like summer 1983.
It does.
Yes.
As soon as I heard that guitar, I'm like, ooh, that's something in 80s music I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I appreciate about what they're doing is that the first album with No Worries was very much, it was taking samples from like deep, deep cuts. And Knowledge is the producer here. He's doing some really great production as well. So I'm excited.
All right. So before we go, I have to ask all of you one very short question.
Okay.
If I told you that one of the following three movies was going to be very good, which one would you think it was? One, A Quiet Place Day One. Two, Twisters. Or three, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I am only saying A Quiet Place because Lupita is finally, it looks like, getting a starring role. Granted, it's in a sequel or a prequel or whatever you want to call it. It's in a franchise, so like I still want better for her. But the fact that she is the star, it seems, based on the trailer, makes me so happy. Beetlejuice, I don't love as much. And also, it's Tim Burton. He's been off for a very long time, even returning to the familiar. I don't know about that.
I'm going
to
lean Beetlejuice, but I mean, Twisters. I mean, there was we all giggled at the pronunciation of the title. So come on. I think we have our answer.
In defense of Twisters, Twister is a very bad movie.
Oh, yeah. But very enjoyable.
Yes. That was like kind of enjoyably bad.
Flying cows.
F5s.
Remember how like Top Gun Maverick was corny in a lot of ways, but it like understood the assignment? I feel like if they understand the assignment, Twisters could be a lot of fun. Beetlejuice feels a little late.
A little. That movie is as old as I am. So yeah, it's a little late.
I am also voting Twisters. And if this is a fun, dumb movie, and if I get to see people protecting themselves from a tornado by hanging on to something, that's going to be rad.
Really tight, to be fair.
That also, by the way, once again, Glenn Powell.
I forgot he's in that. Good for him.
Of course you did.
He was born and bred to be in a Twister sequel.
You go, Glenn Popo. You go.
All right. Well, tell us what you are looking forward to watching or listening to this summer. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Aisha Harris, Stephen Thompson, Glenn Weldon. You guys, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We want to take a moment to thank our Pop Culture Happy Hour Plus subscribers. We appreciate you so much for showing your support of NPR. If you haven't signed up yet, you want to show your support, and you'd like to listen to this show without any sponsor breaks, head over to plus.npr.org/happyhour or visit the link in our show notes. This episode was produced by Mike Katziff and edited by Jessica Reedy, and Hello Come In provides our theme music. Thank you all for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. I'm Linda Holmes, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Don't miss the new docuseries Black Twitter, A People's History. From memes to movements, see how this powerful online community shapes culture and society. Black Twitter, A People's History is now streaming on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear. It means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.